We want to thank you for your prayers for the Nigerian team. There were 12 of us from the States, six from our church who went on this mission. And we're going to try today to give you a little snapshot. We won't be able to tell all the stories, but you're going to hear from everyone that is here that traveled with us today. After the service today, we'll all be up here if you want to engage in some more conversation about, asking some questions about things during the trip. But we'll be available to you. John, we're going to be able to do that video? All right, somebody get the lights and hit it.
Horizon International Medical Mission, HIMM, was founded in the year 2000 by High Chief Dr. Kennedy Kelechi Okere.
I'm Dr. Kennedy Okere. I'm the president and founder of Horizon International Medical Mission. Horizon International Medical Mission has been in existence serving the people of Imo State and Nigeria for 19 years. And so for 19 years, we've provided free medical mission to the people of Imo State.
Dr. Okere is a family physician practicing in the USA. His vision was transformed into mission when he made his first medical mission to his native town, Ihiagua, in Oweri West local government area of Imo State. In the first mission launched by Dr. Caroline Amadi, then Commissioner for Health in Imo State, Nigeria, Dr. Amadi declared HIMM as the first free medical mission to Imo State. HIMM has grown for the past 19 years, attracting healthcare workers and church ministers from the US and Nigeria.
Today, we are doing eyes. Before now, they've had eye part of it. They've had to book patients even for surgery, send patients out for surgery. But today, we are issuing glasses to patients. We are giving out drugs, we are doing referrals, and we are also coming back for surgeries, for those that need surgeries.
HIMM has attended to at least 20,000 patients over 19 years in Nigeria. Surgeries that could not be performed in Nigeria have been offered to patients of HIMM in the US for free. HIMM has extended her mission to rural communities in US, such as McRae, Georgia. HIMM has established a rural clinic in Ihiagua, Oweri West local government area of Imo State.
And so what we are doing in this service is, one, we try to give them medication that at least will last 1 to 3 months. But after that time, what do? And so we need a primary care center that is responsible. And that's why we've built this structure, hoping that this structure, the Horizon Medical Center, should be able to cater for people in this area. And if it works out fine, we would like to duplicate something like this in some other local governments.
In our desire to practice holistic medicine, reaching out to the physical and spiritual needs of the people, HIMM partnered with Sycamore Network in reaching out to the people with Christ. HIMM reaches out to orphanage homes like the Red Cross Orphanage Home in Oweri, where kitchen was equipped and borehole water established. HIMM presented one of the best rescue teams to rescue victims of the 2010 earthquake in Haiti that claimed at least 100,000 lives. Our help cannot be easily forgotten by Haitians. Here is a cross-section of the people and what they have to say about HIMM.
We do both medical screening, give medications, medical advice, And then there's also an evangelical portion as well, where we have people minister and help those who are in need and need counseling.
Actually, today seems to be a very good day for the people of this community. And the reason, according to your question, is that every year for the past 19 years, one of our brothers from United States has been coming yearly with his American friends for free medical treatment and evangelism to the people, not only to Ihiagwa people, but outside Ihiagwa.
In fact, I am very, very happy. I'm very happy. When I saw Canopy, car crowds, team of health officers, medical doctors, different sections, IZ, different sections taking care of people for free, I was very happy. I said, can something of this nature happen in our country? I am happy.
His Royal Highness, Sir Lucky Ihiechukwu Ajoku, Ugochi Nyere I, Nnaochie III of Ihiagwa Autonomous Community, Ancient Kingdom in Owerri West Local Government Area of Imo State, could not hide his joy and appreciation to Dr. Okere and HIMM.
The truth is that it is a great thing to do when a son of the soil out there in a distant land remembers his people, remembers the suffering masses of his community, where he's coming from, despite the fact that he's out there, you know, relatively comfortable and having been trained, is for him to have thought of impacting on his traditional home positively is a mark of someone who cherishes his people and willing to use the gift of God to help humanity. So I'm very impressed that he does this free medical service to our people.
On his part, His Royal Highness Eze Sam Ihekwaba, Omeroha II of Ihitogada Ancient Kingdom in Owerri North Local Government Area of Imo State, expressed gratitude to the team and thanked God that such an initiative has come in his lifetime.
There is no game saying that, I mean, the level of gratitude we have for you guys is limitless. You can see it on the faces of those people who couldn't have gone to the hospital. There are no health clinics here. They don't have the money. Even if there are hospitals, they don't have the money to see the doctors. So I don't know how anybody will feel other than being really, really grateful.
Honorable Chief Gabriel Obichere, the Prime Minister of Nazi Autonomous Community, was so elated that he had this to say.
I think every good thing really ought to be emulated. This is a very exemplary good venture, and I will not relent in encouraging the state government to partner with this organization for the benefit of the citizenry.
Hi, Chief. Come on up here. As Dr. Carey's coming up here, this 8-minute video, we're going to send it out to you, and you share it with whomever you want to share it with. Give people an example, a little sampling in just a little bit of what Horizon is and then how we fit together in that. I'm going to do a little Q&A with Dr. Carey. Just on a few things, and then he's going to come back after everyone else speaks today. kind of wrap things up a little bit, but there's several questions I want to ask you, Dr. O'Carry. How did this begin? How did God begin this vision in you?
So I want to thank you all for your support and your prayers. How did all this begin? It's a good question. I've always wanted to be a medical missionary my whole life. And so when I went to medical school and graduated, I felt like putting things together. And so in the year 1999, I started off thinking about going on the first medical mission. But I had a lot of procrastinations in my mind. One, I said I wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready. How will I get the money? But in 2000, as God will have it, we launched our first medical mission. Remember that I joined Sycamore Church in 1998. So I want you to work out the mathematics of how long I've been here. At least nothing less than 20 years. No regrets. So we put that first medical mission. I was the only one that went there alone, and we're able to see about 600 patients in a week. That was the beginning. My original vision is how to bring souls to Christ. That was the real vision of starting the medical group. But the only way, one of the ways I felt I could do that is using medicine as a vehicle to reach that. And so when I began, people would come to me and they want me to pray for them as well as see their physical illness. So it was too much for me. So what the next step I did was to start recruiting local pastors in Nigeria to help me in the mission. But that still could not fulfill really what I have in mind. I felt I needed a group that will really take responsibility in harnessing these souls, plant churches, and you know, make our presence being felt. And so, as God will have it, Pastor Dusty decided to pick up that responsibility. And so, we started this mission. And so, Horizon operates in two things. We operate on medicine, and we also have the evangelical section. Our evangelical section is headed by Pastor Dusty, and the medical section is headed by me. So, we put these two together to fulfill what God wants us to do.
Second question. So, Horizon, there are a lot of people, a lot of groups that go to Africa, go to Nigeria. What makes Horizon unique? It is unique.
Well, Horizon is unique. We have a lot of medical missions that come and go, and they die out. Horizon has remained sustainable, carrying out the same mission, harnessing souls. One thing that makes us unique is that we have the evangelical part attached to our own mission. So we're not just running medical mission. Most of the other places or most of the groups just run pure medical mission. But we run more than that. So we cut them more than just the physical soul. We talk about the spiritual soul as well.
Estimate the amount, dollar-wise, of medication that we carried with us this time.
All right, let me start from the beginning. When I went on the first medical mission, I had medication worth $25,000. And this time, we traveled with medication worth $240,000. And
say that again.
$240,000, okay? And we've consistently done this.
And how do you get that? Do you just put a sign out and people drop drugs at your house? how does that happen?
Well, I connect with some of that nonprofit organizations like MAP, AmeriCares, and the rest of them. These people get medicine in really large wholesale group, and then they eventually disperse to organizations like us that go on grassroots. Now, it's not completely free. We still have to pay something, but we don't pay as much as that $240,000.
Now, when we go over there, there is a network. You have been busy all of these years building some things that are over there out of your own pocket. So tell them about what we have over there that's available to us now.
Okay. Initially, when in the past, maybe 10, 15 years ago, when we started off on this mission, we used to stay in a hotel. And then we need to talk about food. So I find out that when you eat the food in the hotel, a lot of people complain about diarrhea. And of course, when you are in the hotel, it's like you're constricted to your room and no movement.
And at the end, we pay a lot of money for the accommodation and for the feeding. So I felt, well, one of the things, since this is something that I have a dream that we're going to continue doing, I need to start building something that can accommodate the missionaries. And so I decided to start saving with the support of Leslie. We started thinking about a missionary home where missionaries can stay whenever they come. And so we decided to set up this structure. Do we have the picture there? Okay. So this is a home for the missionaries. It's an 8-bedroom house. Literally has basic things that we need. Each room can take 2 big beds, and that's what we did this time. So we're able to accommodate everyone. We lived there as a family. We can come outside, hang out in the evening when we return back from the mission. So it's pretty much okay. We can still make it more comfortable inside. But so far, so good. We're able to live there. And we have our chef. We bring our chef. The chef comes there to cook for us. It made things a whole lot easier and different from what we used to have.
And I got to share the high chief's residence on the top floor. We had air conditioning where we were. That's a lie. We were sweating to the oldies. Now, you not only built this, but there's also a couple of other things that you've built there and in the process now.
Yes. We also have a clinic built in. A clinic that is supposed to be 8-bed clinic, and we use that clinic to run this mission, and we've been using it. Also building another hospital, supposed to be about a 16-bed hospital in the big city. My goal is that other hospital is supposed to help the hospital in the rural area. The hospital in the rural area is non-profit. I hope the one in the city is going to be profit-making so that we can take the money to support the non-profit in the rural area. That way, we can serve more people and make it sustainable.
You getting a feel for this? This isn't a drive-by. This is sustainable. This is something that will last and grow, and it has.
But also remember that these structures you're seeing, they're not from loan. Nobody gives you a loan. So this one took me 7 years. So it's like you have to work. What you save is what you put in there. A good thing is that labor is cheap, but the materials are expensive. And so some of these buildings, that the other clinic took me about 6 years. This took about 7 years. I don't know how long the other one would take. But
so this is a family commitment, right, Leslie?
Yes.
The whole family is involved in this, and it's something with a vision. So thumbnail sketch of the vision for the future with Horizon.
Our vision for the future is one, we'll continue hunting for souls. That's the main thing. And the next vision is how to get us involved as a church more and more. How to think about planting more churches. We've already invested in Community Baptist Church in Owerri, which we see great evidence. And that church was like 0 point. We started from 0 point, did the medical mission. Now they're grown. They have a structure. They're going to be a mother church. I don't want to go into that. I'm going to allow the man of God to talk about that. But that is the great vision that Horizon have. If we come to that point where we can start thinking about planting more churches and growing and spreading, not only in Imo State, we're going to spread to other parts of Nigeria. A time will come when you say Sycamore, it'll be a household name. That's the goal.
Thank you, Dr. O'Carry. He's going to come back in just a few minutes. As we partner as a church, our overseas mission arm for our church, we put it under the name Sycamore Network. Dr. O'Carry mentioned the church there in Owerri, Community Baptist, which we have helped as a church. We've shown you many pictures. You're going to see some pictures today of it, where it was. The building washed away at one time completely. But to see it now, I mean, they are packed to the brim, 2 services on Sunday morning, and need to, they need more space. This is a place that was drug infested. that was, I mean, God has just done a great work there. Many people have come to know the Lord. Their pastor, Matthew Egbenosa, sharp young man, and God is blessing there. They're the mother church now, and we're helping to plant a new church in the area called Nazi. You know, the prime minister, you saw his picture. You know, most articulate man that I met in Nigeria. Man, he should run for office. He was very, very good. But we have a planter on the ground, a guy who we've already engaged. It's a student there at the theology school. His name is Bethel Amadi. A sharp young man, has a gift of evangelism. And so we have launched that work, and that will be called the Sycamore Church there in Nazi. So we'll have a sister church that we'll be letting you know more about that. But it's exciting to see what God is doing there. I want you to see how that partnership worked. And who would have thought that first day that we met Dr. Carey, and then later on we got to meet Leslie, and then they were married, and then the children came, and all the things that God's done since then, it's a wonderful thing. Now you're going to hear from some of our folks. First up is Brother Gary. All right. I've put them on a TV time limit, okay?
Since I'm on a time limit, I'm not going to talk. Because I can talk. Who said, so, woo-hoo. Then I'm going to do a song for you that I wrote last year during the other trip. All about coming home, and this is whether you're coming home here or coming home to Nigeria or wherever it may be. Can't wait to get back home again. The warm embrace of a dear old friend. I feel like coming home again. In the rain, in the sunshine, it looks the same. Through the joy and through the pain, I feel like coming home again. God knows sometimes I want to stay here or there when I'm away. I can hear her call by name, and she tells me to come home again. People waiting for me once again. Little Sharon holding onto my hand. I feel like coming home. La 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 la. And she tells me to come home again. There those saints come a marching in. Gentle healing from the love of a friend. I feel like coming home again. I feel like coming home again. I feel like coming home again. Good to be home, but I can't wait to go back.
Maya, you know, It's interesting that you, everywhere you go, you go into the king's palace, and the first thing he says is not, hello, Dr. O'Carry, hello, High Chief, hello, man of God, but Maya!
Hello. Okay, so I'm talking about two pictures. This picture was at the last day of clinic. We went to the theology school. But those kids are from church, the community church that we go to there and helped with. And so they came to the clinic, and it's cool to like recognize them and know them. I mean, well, we saw them at church. But so that's something cool, is going back and like having friendships with those kids from years past that I've gone, and just knowing each other and being friends. So that's awesome. Oh, we were looking at catfish. And those things. Yeah. Anyways. And that is from, that's also the last day of clinic. That was, this trip I sort of like got to do a little bit of like some different things that I hadn't done like in the clinic, like helping direct people and telling them where to go and who to see for what they needed. So that was cool to get a different perspective on the trip and see something.
Jonathan, I don't know what I'd have done without this man.
In 2002, I had just finished graduate school, and I was trying to figure out what I was supposed to do when I grow up, you know. And I put it before God, and I was like, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. And I would challenge young people and old people to be real with God and put it out there and see what he says. But he said very distinctly, audible voice. Don't hear audible voice as much. Much at all, but which might be a good thing. But he said, I want you to go to Africa. And I wasn't really sure what to do with that, but I knew it was important. And over the next few years, I actually met Dr. O'Carry. I wasn't a part of this church yet, although I kind of was because my family was here. And just started getting involved in missions and went a couple of places like Haiti. And then in 2005, we moved up to a boarding school, and we had opportunity to work with many Africans and many first-generation Americans whose parents were Africans. Just an awesome experience. And then, surprisingly to me, God calls us back here almost 2 years ago. And, that call to go to Africa is one of those things. It's just a driving force in my life. But I didn't really understand. I never thought we were coming back here when we left. I thought we were going over there permanently. But I didn't have it all figured out, and I still don't. So anyway, God calls us back here 2 years ago, and High Chief, he's not even here anymore. And then we know less than a year, calls the High Chief back. And so...
from Babylon.
As I was praying about the trip coming up that we just went on, that we're talking about, I was just like, I don't know. I don't know if it's the right thing for me to do. Am I supposed to go? What's going to happen? Finally, I was just like, you know what? We moved back to Savannah, and there ain't been much at all about Africa since we got back here, and I don't know what's going on, but this is an opportunity. And I was just, in January, I was just like, all right, God, I'm going, but I don't have the means, I don't have the whatever, so you're just going to have to make it happen. And so, you know, he did. And you all were obedient. A lot of you gave, a lot of you prayed, and I want to say thank you for that. This verse, I came across this just this morning, and I thought about you all and your praying. This is 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 11. It says this, and he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. This is Paul, by the way, talking about missionary journeys. And verse 11, this is the key verse, I think. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. I got to be honest, I really didn't feel like I was in danger that much this time. But I know some of you, especially those of you that went that first time, you know. And the other part of it is your prayers and our safety. We don't know what kind of dangers God just totally took care of that we weren't even aware of. So I just want to say thank you for that. I want to show you this second picture. When we go to Nigeria, we fly into Lagos, and Lagos is a good bit farther north than where we stay most of the time. And if you look closely, what you see obviously is a church, and then just about right next to it is a mosque. And to me, this is a great picture of really what's going on, you know, in Nigeria and in Africa and in the world. But northern Nigeria is mostly Islamic. Southern Nigeria, Igbos, they're Christians. And yes, man, there's people that are being killed for their faith there, no doubt about it. But it's also that same way. If you look at the continent of Africa, North Africa is mostly Islamic. Southern Africa, there's a lot of Christians, and there's a battle. It's a territorial battle. You know, I've been to East Africa a couple of times too, and it's just evident. But you know, we want to pray for Nigeria. We want to pray for, you know, when we were in that prayer room, there was no doubt about it that it is a spiritual battle going on. It's light versus darkness, you know, what we saw a lot was ancestral spirits and spiritual warfare and that kind of thing. But you know, today's the first day of Ramadan, and there are Muslims who are literally fasting and praying to hear from God. I'm coming in agreement with them that they will hear from the true God, Jesus, Yeshua. They know him as Isa. But they're praying specifically to feel closer to God and for their souls to be cleansed. And I just want to say, you know, it's just a reminder for us, keep praying. That light's going to win out. Thank you.
The other son of Zebedee, they thought they were twins over there.
Can y'all see me reflecting down here? I don't have to stand up there, right? I'm going to get my Thunder Senior to hold the mic for me.
We are not relations, sir.
So we're not used to people getting our jokes in Nigeria. We got 2 minutes. I'm going to exceed that limit. I timed it this morning. It was 3 minutes and 30 seconds. So I'll do my best. That's the Nigerian sunset after Stanley got our car started. Hit the next one, John. That's a guy's broken leg. He fell from 2 stories 6 months ago, and he walked into the clinic. And I say walked. He did his best. We had to have pictures. I'm not going to talk about that. So I kind of adapted some of the things that I wrote while I was over there in kind of a compilation. So I'm going to read that to you. So this was my third trip to Nigeria. Each trip has its own unique challenges. Some things you anticipate. The heat, the roads, the chicken and rice. Kendi has made it more comfortable each time. Frozen water bottles were unexpected and welcome treat, providing relief this time. Those bottles would be frozen solid, and in the heat and humidity would be completely melted in 15 minutes. There are two things we depend on while we are on these trips. The body, our church, that's you, and Dr. Okiri. I truly struggle to find words to explain the confidence and peace we take on these missions as we reach elbow deep into humanity. We depend on your prayers. We may be the hands and feet, but you guys are the heart, and you all make these trips possible. God wastes none of it. I am humbled by Dr. Okiri's faithful obedience, the significant task he takes to get us to Owerri to serve the people he loves so much. We could not go without him. Dr. Okiri's persistent walk down the path the Lord has shown him is inspiring. Oh, to live and love my home, to love the people of my home, and above all, to serve willingly, consistently, and tirelessly as our Savior Jesus Christ lived, is to follow Dr. Okiri's example. I am at peace walking in the dust of this rabbi. Thank you, Lord, for Kennedy Kalichi Okiri. Say it louder.
Amen.
Amen.
On these missions, I understand that we are not enough. We can't see them all. We can't touch them all. We can't heal them all. Left to our attempts and solutions, we would be overrun and the people of Owerri would be left abandoned. But with him, every drop of sweat, every ounce of energy, every moment of sacrifice, every prayer that you pray in faith is multiplied and bankrupts the evil of this world, voids the temptations of the flesh, and feeds the desperate and hungry. We serve in faith that our obedience in the hands of Yahweh, our Creator, will heal the sick, snatch lost souls from the fire, give strength to the weary, and bring peace in the midst of chaos. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. At each mission, we have to leave at some point because we cannot see them all. We just can't. This is something I've had to wrestle with. The question is, how do you say no to people smothered by heat, infested by poverty, and desperate for relief? You understand that man's best is 12 serving 200, but God's best is one feeding 5,000 because of the willing sacrifice of a boy's loaves and fish. That boy is Dr. Okiri. To us, the masses are an unrelenting, back-breaking burden that we cannot help. But through us, Christ our Savior gives rest to the weary. Give it to him. Give it all to him. Because in Christ, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. This I prayed. Help us to serve with gentleness and humility. We honor and trust you to take what we offer to the masses. And we would be a light into the darkness, and the darkness would flee because it cannot understand it. And that the truth would fill them to overflowing. No table scraps or half-truths. All your glory, all your power, through your people, to the lost souls crying out. Quench their hunger. Relieve their pain. We ask that they would receive salvation and healing. We give thanks to you, the Alpha Omega, the in-between, the main thing, the great I am. Peace and joy. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jimmy. Come on, Dr. Okiri. And he has some pictures he wants to share.
All right. Whenever we visit any place, most of these towns, you just don't go there and start your mission. Ahead of time, we need to let the king of that place know that we are coming. Because if we don't do that, we might get into slight trouble. So letting them know is, one, they welcome us. Two, they also send their small security group called the Vigilante. They know everything about that area. And so this is a visit to the king in Ihiawa in the morning that we had to see him and get his blessings to go ahead and do the mission in his town. All right. A new area that we have developed in our mission is concerning the eye, the ophthalmic area. A lot of people have eye problems, especially cataracts and other things. We went with about 600 pairs of glasses. Wonderful. All gone. Now, what about the kids? A lot of the kids that come there, they cannot read at school. They cannot see what is written on the board. Because the glasses that we went with, they are just for adults, you know, to use as reading. And so with the optometrist that we have this year, she's able to examine this case. She brought some frames. They will choose the frame. And then she went back home and prepared the lenses. I fixed the lens. And then today, in fact, she told me they brought all those glasses back. So it will go to different communities. My assistant will go to different communities to distribute those glasses. Now, we paid for those glasses. Those are special glasses. And so each of them, to tell you how it is, to make a little kid see once more, it's about $40. Looks cheap. But if you don't do that, they're going to be blind. And so we engage in that. It's one of the areas that we have expanded a lot. A lot of beliefs they have about eye issues. Some of the lactating mothers, when they see that the baby has a conjunctivitis, they put breast milk on the baby's eye. There's another one that they put urine. They drop urine into the baby's eye, onto the adult's eye. Another one, they squeeze leaves, herbs, into the eye. And of course, all these are more irritating to the eye and cause conditions like this, the scarring of the cornea. And that almost leads to death, to blindness. And so they, a lot of the cases, we had to re-educate them once more. This picture that you see here, is my nurse here at Curtis Cooper, Brittany. She's not here with us today, but she really, really worked hard. This kid has not been hearing for 6 months, and of course, the parents believe that completely he's deaf. He cannot hear anymore. And so when I looked into his ear, I found that wax blocked his ear on both sides. And of course, how could anyone hear when the wax blocked the ears? So we started washing this ear, and of course, you could imagine all kinds of stuff that came out of it. And after that miracle, he started hearing again. So we have cases like this. Do I have another slide? Okay, I think I'm done.
What else do you want?
Okay, what else do I want to say is that, one, I want to just first of all thank all the team members that went on this mission. They all worked hard. Gary, could you remind us the name they call you in Igbo? Chimobi. Gary got a new name, Chimobi. I actually gave him that name. And the reason for that is that there was a time that I was looking for a videographer and a photographer that would be attached to this mission so that we can tell the people what we do. We can keep documentary and tell them. So I was praying, and it was just at that time that Gary joined the mission. And so I felt that God really had what I had in mind and answered my prayer. And so God understands my mind, and that's the meaning of that name. Chimobi means God understands my heart. So what I would challenge us is that let's look forward. We have told you that we're going to plant a church. We're serious about that. Planting a church is going to requires money, you know, to be straightforward. It requires money. We're going to acquire land. We're going to pay the pastor until the church is able to start building on their own and pay their pastor and take care of their things. But at the beginning, we're going to support them. Initially, I was able to sponsor the healthcare part of this mission. 80% of the support was from my personal pocket. Well, this mission has grown so much. It is more than what I think it would be. It's exactly God's own project, and an individual cannot carry God's own project. You need God's hand to carry the project. So it has grown so much that we need more people, and we need more support, more than what I used to put in. So that's one of the challenges that we're going to have ahead of us. Both sides of the ministry is expanding. The evangelical and the medical ministry is expanding, and it's expanding rapidly. And we need to grow as people to catch up with that rapid growth.
Thank you, Dr. Chair. Yeah. I had a couple I wanted to show you. This is that's what Community Baptist was meeting in, which was pretty nice. My first trip over. And we began, we had already begun to help them. After we met there in that building that year, the rainy season came and washed those supporting timbers away, and it was all flat. Going to the next one, John. This is it today. And you could probably cram about 200, you think, in there? I mean, Nigerians can get a lot of people in it because there's no such thing as personal space. Americans have all this personal space, but it's not there. But it is a wonderful building. Two services on Sunday morning. Go on to the next one, John. Here's Clement Amadi on the left, the Nigerian godfather, my boss, who at one time was the Assistant General Secretary of the Nigerian Baptist Convention. I mean, he's a big dog. He's like Yoda. You know, when Yoda goes and moves his hand, things move, you know, he does that. He walked me into a statewide meeting of all the Baptist students. They didn't know we were coming. He just walks in with me and says, Dr. Reynolds has an address he wants to give. So you have to be instant in season, out season. The guy on the right is the new pastor, not so new now, Matthew Igbinoza. And we gave them a laptop computer and a printer and some money, enough to buy some sound equipment there. But anyway, that's that picture. Going to the next one. I spent the day on Friday, this is at the theology school, with after our morning program and address. They always liked me to do this address. And then I spent with the students and the faculty. And this is about 8 or 10 guys, and there's one gal in there. We just spent talking about ministry. And it was absolutely invigorating. Their commitment to Jesus is just tremendous. All right, John. And then the prayer times. We battled with the enemy everywhere we went. First day we noticed. First 2 dozen people we had that come through the prayer room, a dozen of them said, "I've been having nightmares." What are your nightmares about? This man is after us, and he doesn't want us to come here. What we figured was that the enemy had already dispatched demons there to oppress the people before we got there. I know this is going to weird some of you out, but it's all right. But the reality that this happened, and didn't want them to come there, didn't want us to have the mission there. So we're doing battle with that. I mean, hours and hours of prayer on the front lines, you know, with everyone doing that. It took a team. God over and over said to me, "Dusty, stay in your lane." It took all of us. And if you didn't think your prayers mattered, let me tell you, when you're face to face with a person that is oppressed with a demon that is just facing you down, and that is want to defeat what you're doing there, it gives a new meaning to prayer in your life. Have I got any more, John? Okay. Here is my son in Nigeria, Stanley. Many of you are Facebook friends with him. He's going by Uka now. That's his that is his other name. Stanley can do anything. He didn't have on his day before. He had on his Pink Floyd T-shirt. Stanley, he's married now, has a baby. His baby was 4 days old. He left his wife and baby to come across the state to come and help us, across the country, come and help us, be there with us. I met him when he was just a young guy, and he'd play Uncle Clement's music, gospel music. As soon as Uncle Clement got out of the car, he's playing Snoop Dogg. But the rest of the time, I had him dangling from a thin wire because I threatened to bust him out in front of Uncle Clement. Of course, then I'd have had to explain to Uncle Clement who Snoop Dogg was. Imagine that. I don't think you can have a translator that Snoop Dogg or 50 Cent or anyway. But he has grown in the Lord now. I gave him an MP3 player. I said, "Well, I gave him the player." He came back the next day and said, "I've been listening to those sermons you put on there for me." I didn't put them on there for him. I was giving him the player. But he's a great, great young man. And here we are. This is in Nazi. I wanted you to see. That is that good-looking man, not me, the the one to the right there, that's Bethel Amadi. He is the planter. So you know what he looks like now. You can pray for him as he plants the church there in Nazi. The guy in the multicolored outfit, that is Damien. Damien's our man of peace there. And then you see Dr. Carey. And if you think this is a mild-mannered, laid-back man, you ought to see him going to negotiations when you're cutting the deal, man. He's like the Nigerian godfather, man. He'll give you an offer you can't refuse. And then that's Damien's brother, and then Clement is on the end there. And we were actually looking at one of the spots for the church to start. Is that the last one? Okay. All right. So here's where I want to conclude with this today. We're going to be down here today to talk to you. If you have any more questions, we'll We'll stay here as long as you have questions. But I want to challenge you. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." We need to have a strategy to reach the whole world. That involves all of us. Some of you, after listening to what we've had to say today, God's pricking your heart. You want to go on one of these missions, and God's calling you right now. I know He is. He's speaking to you. You want to go. But let me tell you, not all of us can go there. There's still Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. We need everybody. My primary translator this time is a young businessman over there. His name's Henry Chittum. Some of you are Facebook friends with Henry. Henry's a businessman in Lagos. His family is in Imo State. And they move him around. I mean, highly educated, sharp, mild-mannered young man, but very prophetic things he said. He said, "Dr. Reynolds, your first two trips, you flew over Nigeria." He said, "This trip, you went through Nigeria." That's really what I felt like that I personally did. Coming back has challenged me, not just for that over there. Yes, we've set up God provided enough money ahead of time that we've been able to set up a bank account over there that will get the church started over there, but we're going to need more people. We're going to need more money down the road from a lot of different people. But it's not just the work over there. God's called us back to the hub. And you know why He's called us back to the hub? So He can send us out again. We're not going to that for us. None of this is about us. It's about the kingdom of God. We couldn't go, I couldn't go, if Audrey wasn't here. Her primary verse for me going this time, she quoted, I don't think she knew the address, it was 1 Samuel 25:13, which says that, yeah, some went, but there were those who had to stay behind and watch the baggage. I could leave knowing that everything was covered here. That's the only way I could leave and be unencumbered. We are a team. God has uniquely, look around you. Look at this group of people. You won't find a more diverse group of people in Savannah, Georgia that gets together for anything except paying their taxes. But God has put us together for such a time as this. So today I want to challenge you with this. Let's be obedient to what God's calling us to do every day. God isn't just working in Nigeria. He's working here. The same God who saves people in Nigeria saves people here. I challenge you to be all God wants you to be. Now. We're going to open the altar for prayer. Some of you may want to come and intercede for what you have seen and heard today. The altar's open for you today. Rick and I will be down here, Gene and Audrey. You want to come pray with us? But maybe you want to come and pray. God's stirring your heart. You know you want to do something, you just don't know what it is. We need other people to pray with you, to listen with you. We invite you. Let's pray.
Now, Lord, as we open the altar, we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill the hearts of your faithful. Kindle in us the fire of your love. This day, let us feel and know that you are working in us. That tug at our hearts today, Lord, is not a slick presentation, but it is the power of God bringing salvation, bringing deliverance, bringing healing to so many. Lord, we love you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Lord, we pray this fruit will last and will be renewed because more fruit-bearing trees have been planted. The altar's open. We'd like to get those cards from you, and if you have an offering to bring, baskets, front and the back, we'll receive those now. I leave you with this last perspective. Sometimes you need a number to kind of to bring into reality. 12 people went. With their cost individually, they each one had to raise or spend out of their own pocket at least $4,000. So you're about $50,000 for the 12 to start with. There was another 20, 25 that I know that we raised in addition to that. And I don't know how much that Dr. O'Carey put into things. And it came from people all over the place. It came from many of you and people that know us and had confidence that it would be invested in the kingdom and in souls. And it was. Especially, we thank you for your prayers. We felt them. We felt God's protection over. Not one time did I feel like we had to retreat. It was a charge because you knew people were watching your back. In prayer. Good to see you today. God bless you. Glad to have two of the Snyder girls with us today. Would y'all stand up, please? So glad y'all are here. Bless you. All right. Amen. Amen for that. And aren't y'all glad that the Lord brought Dr. and Ms. O'Carey back from their Babylonian captivity. Oh, happy day. I danced when he called me and told me that. I did, Terry. I really did. I danced. I praise the Lord. All right. Send you out in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus our Savior. Under the authority of God the Father and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Sycamore.